were talking, and we have been talking, and you've heard it on the news, all about the data harvesting and the data protection bill and Cambridge Analytica and all that kind of stuff. And if you have been asleep and haven't heard it, well, US firm Cambridge Analytica have been accused of harvesting the private information from the Facebook profiles of more than 50 million users without their permission since 2014. It's also been alleged that this ultimately enabled it to exploit the social media activity of millions of Americans ahead of Donald Trump's presidential campaign in 2016. But what about Ireland? We have a referendum on the way up, and we have a proposed data protection bill going through the Houses. Is that going to protect us here from any of this activity? To discuss all of this, I'm joined now by Catherine O'Keefe, who is a consultant in data protection with Castlebridge. Catherine, you're very welcome.
Thank you.
I've been watching this with some, horror, actually, because I perhaps I'm wrong and perhaps I'm catastrophizing, but I have fear around the idea that people are being manipulated on these social media platforms and that it will subvert our democracy. So people aren't making good decisions. And I don't mean by good decisions ones that I would agree with. I mean well-informed decisions. They're getting misinformation, fake news, lies, all that stuff bombarded at them. And therefore, they act in accordance with that. But actually, there's a puppet master pulling their strings. Am I wrong?
Well, it's difficult to say how much actual psychological manipulation has taken place. And that's one of the things that I'm actually very concerned about, because one of the differences between using social media for micro-targeting political communications and what we used to have with the broadcast communications is you don't know what other people are seeing.
Okay, so because of micro-targeting, if I go on to my Facebook page and if you go on to your Facebook page, we'll see different things and we'll think perhaps that you've seen what I've seen, or I'll think that I've seen what you've seen, but that may not be the case. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, so one of the things that's happening there is what's called a filter bubble, in that Facebook and other social media have algorithms that drive what they show you by looking at what you've already seen. So there's a confirmation bias that happens. You engage with one particular message, you get shown more of those. So while I may be getting very, very, very different messages from another person I know, we also don't know what the other person is seeing, because we aren't seeing the broadcast ads that everyone sees the same thing.
Okay, and so that's quite different to mainstream media, where the news is put out and on the front page or what have you. We all read it. We may take different things from it, but we all get the same information. Now we're getting targeted individual information that's different, and I suppose that is the height of manipulation, isn't it? It's the same way advertising works. We had a huge issue in the media here a couple of weeks ago about Project 40. They were advertorials, they weren't news. We were being targeted and manipulated, we thought, by government and all that kind of stuff, and we reacted badly to it because we hold mainstream media to account. Social media appears to have no rules and be a law unto itself.
Yeah, we do have in Europe data protection rules, in that our political opinions are considered sensitive personal data, or what under GDPR is called special categories of personal data. And we're not supposed to be in a situation where those are used in any sort of way, except for very, very specific reasons, with specific, clear, lawful conditions around them, making sure that there's protections, among other things, protecting the functioning of democracy and the secrecy of the ballot.
Well, we are currently in a situation where the Data Protection Bill 2018 is going to be debated, is going to be passed. It sounds, the title of it makes it sound like it's a good thing, the data protection, our data will be safe. But that's not necessarily the case, is it? That the Data Protection Bill as is leaves us wide open in this country to our own profiles being harvested, to our own profiles being targeted. Where exactly is the protection in this bill?
Yeah, this is a concern that a lot of data protection experts have at the moment. So the Data Protection Bill of 2018 is meant to help enable various sections of GDPR that allow for certain differences across EU member states. One of the areas that has been drafted, however, in the Irish Data Protection Bill, it's called Section 42. It allows for any organization to carry out data processing on behalf of any organization engaged in political activity. Now, that is a very, very broad drafting phrasing. It's not just constrained to Irish organizations. It creates a potential where Ireland could be the hub of fake news internationally.
So, in other words, we've brought in, or we're discussing the potential to bring in, a data protection bill that allows... And we've been talking very often in this show about the digital age of consent, where it allows children from the age of 13 to have their data mined for political purposes legally in this country. That's going to be the yardstick in this bill.
Consent or no consent, yeah.
By signing up, you've given your consent. Is that what it's going to be? Signing up to Facebook or what have you?
Where they get the information, that could be through signing up to Facebook. However it has gotten, there are different legal reasons that you're able to process people's personal data. Now, for instance, Facebook is saying that all that data was collected and processed on the basis of consent, which I would be highly doubtful of that to begin with, because their API allowed the information of friends of people who signed up to be taken.
Yeah, they actually harvested 270,000 Facebook profiles, but then like little spiders' webs, all of the 270,000, all their friends were harvested from that point too. So who knew nothing about this?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Now, when it comes to communications for political activities, particularly electoral activities under Irish law, consent isn't actually necessarily always required. And this is one of the things that, you know, does come up in questions of political parties communicating with people in general, if an election hasn't been called, and they start direct marketing to you. Technically, you know, it's marketing, it's spam, it's not actually political communications within the realms of electoral activities. This doesn't seem to make it very, very clear where that stops and begins.
Yeah. You know, I lots of people are getting involved. Someone says, I'm deleting my social media as of today. It should be easier to do, but it's actually a long process to get rid of it. And I'm sure you're probably right, because even if you delete the app, they probably still have your details. Someone else says, Facebook, I'd be more concerned about the so-called public services card. To be honest, I think you're an aegis to be more concerned about the so-called public services card, because that's never going to target you in this way. It's never going to micro-target you. It's never going to spam you with information. All it has is your name and address and your PPS number. These guys have everything on you. They know what preferences, they know what ads you look at, they know what you watch on the telly. These guys have profiled us. I think we're afraid of the wrong thing sometimes. You know, we have a referendum, Catherine, coming up. Canto is a London-based consultancy firm that have been hired by, and it doesn't really matter which side it's been hired by, because it's not about that, but they have been hired, to my knowledge, by the pro-life side. It was started by a guy called Barwick, and he used to work for Cambridge Analytica, so, and was involved in the Brexit Leave campaign and all that kind of stuff. My fear is that these organisations, these political consultancies, these people who do the digital harvesting, they are way ahead of us, and they're also way ahead of our government and our legislation. And they are looking at us like sheep. They are targeting us. They are looking at our profiles. They are lifting them. They are assessing them. And then they are feeding us information in order to get us to act in a certain way. And that's what advertising has always done. But micro-advertising is particularly insidious. I don't know if you saw the Channel 4 thing last night, where they were talking about how they can actually build a wall around people online so that they are hit from every side, more or less, is what they were saying, with the information that they want us to see, and only the information that they want us to see, and therefore we will vote or we will act accordingly. Should somebody not be looking at this and going, in general, this is a terrible idea for democracy, it's a terrible idea for individual freedom, and that the media that we have held to account, the mainstream media that we hold to account so broadly and have done so for so long in terms of editorial and defamation and everything, that we have allowed a monster to develop online in terms of, you know, the social media platforms, and nobody is crying halt?
Well, there are people crying halt. There is a increasing awareness of these serious ethical issues when it comes to using people's data, when it comes to social media. Some of this is driven by Europe. The European Data Protection Supervisor is very concerned about this. Some of it is driven within the industry. There have been academics who have been looking at these questions and raising warnings for the past 10 years. So we can definitely listen to them. The Data Protection Commissioner in Ireland is going to be putting out guidance for us as citizens when it comes to looking at where advertising came from on on our social media, how to be a little bit more alert and aware. Hopefully they will also come out with guidance for political parties and people working on behalf of political parties, because I think we need both sides there. And we do need some driving legislation to, once again, put more regulations around this.
My guest who I'm speaking to is Catherine O'Keefe, consultant in data protection with Castlebridge. Do you think there is, Catherine, a political will to tackle this, when politicians must be able to see that they could use this kind of thing massively to their own advantage? I mean, it is quite clear that if you were a political party, harnessing the power of Facebook profiling, harnessing the power of micro-targeting of information at potential voters, this is a huge string to your bow as a political party. Is that part of the problem, that the legislation looks so wishy-washy and weak, is that politicians don't have the will to do anything about this? This suits them quite well.
Some may be that may be the case. Others definitely care, definitely want to do the right thing. We as citizens need to ensure that we are communicating with them very, very clearly about our concerns, so that they know that we do care, we are watching.
Yeah, except for we are watching. But what we're trying to do is sift through the minefields of misinformation we're being fed to try and get to, the truth of the issue. And an awful lot of people, you know, I see it myself quite regularly in terms of my own area, of special interest being health. I see the utter misinformation online and on things like Facebook around health, and it bothers me so much I can't even tell you, but yet it is a tsunami of misinformation out there. And now I suspect we're seeing the same thing in politics happening, the same misinformation too. Text from Louise, she says, does it matter? There is no privacy anymore. If you are going to make your decision based on social media ads or influence, therein lies the problem. That sounds great in theory, Louise, but nobody pays for advertising because it doesn't work. The only reason they pay for it, millions and millions, is because it exactly does work. And if we were all immune to it, nobody would be paying for it. One of our listeners, Kira, is on the line. She is going to talk to us about what she thinks about the situation that we find ourselves in terms of the fallout from Cambridge Analytica. Kira, what do you make of all of this?
My concern is more around the democracy and the traditional media that have suffered tremendously at the hands of Facebook and Google with the ad revenue that they're missing out on. As far as I know, Facebook booked almost $40 billion in ad revenue. And it's kind of widely acknowledged that Facebook and Google, between them, have sucked most of the revenue for traditional media out.
Yeah.
And I think with the combination of people expecting their news for free, in some ways, have we got the beast we created?
Yeah.
Because we've given these guys a free rein. People expect their news for nothing. They expect newsrooms to pay for themselves, and they really are being fed misinformation. I noticed at one point that during the election, it was quoted that 45% of Americans were getting their news source primarily from Facebook.
Yeah.
So I think we can all see what happened there in the light of the recent revelations, and I think personally, I think Facebook will unfurl, and the monster will have to sleep silently on the other side of the ocean. But I think it will be driven primarily here by an EU mission to try and put a stop to this, because it's when you look at the basics of it, it really does threaten democracy ground level up.
I think it does, and I'm wondering, as we're having this conversation, whether there is a political will to challenge them, because I do think it may well suit politicians to have this massive resource and this massive ability to micro-target us. Are you concerned that actually we can't trust politicians dealing with this issue, because in fact they may have some conflict about shutting down what is for them a way of getting to voters very effectively?
Yeah, I think you're on the money there. I think trust and politicians are two words that don't usually come together in the same sentence. But I think there has to be some kind of accountability somewhere along the line. And I would like to think that there might be one or two people out there, but I do think they're based in the EU, who will drive a level of transparency that we need to move forward, not just as Ireland, but as consumers of news.
Yeah. Look, thank you for that. Thank you for getting in touch with us, Ciara. Fair play to you. Catherine O'Keefe, indeed, thank you to you too, consultant in data protection with Castlebridge. I'm very interested to know what people think about this. Are we overplaying this? Is this really a big deal or is this not a big deal? Kieran says, Ciara, the print media, especially the tabloids, have been full of misinformation and biased views for so long. Before social media, if someone chooses to believe some of the nonsense that appears on Facebook or Twitter, it's no different to choosing to buy the likes of the Daily Mail or the Sun and believe some of the biased nonsense that they print. I think you can still hold newspapers to account in a very different way. Someone else says, in a recent Guardian interview, one of the founders of Facebook said that they believed it was destroying the social fabric of society. Wow, I mean, that's a big, big thing to say. And they said, there's a rule in marketing. If a product is free, you are the product. Facebook exists solely to gather your personal information to sell to advertisers. That's its only function. If you want to avoid having your data harvested, don't use Facebook. Shane in Blessington says, I also think they use the microphones of our phones in order to record our conversations. I spoke to a friend of mine about an amp I was thinking of buying for my guitar. I had never looked it up and I had never applied for this information online or anything about it. But the next time I went on Facebook, I was being advertised the amp. God, it is like Big Brother. I don't know if that's true or not, Shane, but it's certainly worrying. And Richie says this, you're absolutely spot on, Ciara. I'm 33 and have never used woeful media or had a smartphone, spy phone. Our attention is the most important thing we have. And the sooner the better people realise this. Thank you for this indeed. And do let me know what you think. 53106.